Colossians. In our church, we got some folks that don't have Bibles. So I just tell them where ours is at in our pew Bible. So that's just what we do. And I'd like to start reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 23. And so if you're physically able to, in honor of the Word of God, would you stand, please? He says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's well. Whatsoever is sold in shambles, that eat, asking no questions for conscience sake." Let me say, I like eating, so that doesn't bother me one bit. Amen. Wherever it's sold, it can be sold at all. These Kroger's, Walmart, it doesn't matter. I like it. Amen. I'm for groceries, but that's beside the point. All right. And now I forgot where I was at. Okay, asking no question for conscience sake. "For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to the feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered and sacrificed unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." Our Father, we do thank you for the privilege of being here. Lord, we need you. Help us today to honor thee in the preaching of thy word. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. A few weeks ago, my son went down to Brother Jordan's meeting, spent a few days down there, and got to hanging out with Brother Danford's son, and they were doing some devotions together. I appreciate that. And they were encouraging one another in the Lord, the best I can understand. My son, we got to talking on as I was driving him home, and I was asking the question, why do we do the things that we do? Why do we do the things that we do? I got to thinking on that. I was just, why do we do what we do? Then, in our little mission work there in Shelbyville, I've got a couple that's been coming. And I saw on Facebook that the lady got a new tattoo. I thought she was growing all right. Now she grew a new tattoo. And I got to thinking, why do we do the things that we do? And so I'd like to key in on verse number 31. "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Now we find in verses 24 and in verses 33 and throughout that portion of scripture that, and we understand that the context of this is eating things offered to idols and so forth and all this. But, and so we find that they're saying in verses 24 and in verses 3 that we consider limiting our liberties based upon the brethren and those around us and what others might think. And let me say, we ought to do that. And so we find that to be true, but the principle that controls Christian liberty, yea, controls the whole Christian life, is found in verse number 31 in that last part. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So I've been meditating on this, so I'm probably not going to preach much. I just got some thoughts here. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says in verse number 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We belong to Him. We are His. I'm not my own. I belong to somebody else. So what I do, not just whether I eat or whether I drink, and let me say, there's some things you can't drink to the glory of God. When you pop the top on one of those Budweisers or Bud Dumbers or whatever you want to call them, or get the Miller Low Lifes or whatever, I don't even know if they sell those things anymore. But I guess they still sell the same old stuff they used to sell. Y'all ask, yeah, Brother Smith, tell me. Amen. I don't know whether they do, but hey, what I'm trying to tell you is I don't know how anybody could drink those things to the glory of God. All right. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So we find that there's some things you cannot do to the glory of God. You cannot do some things. But there's some things that the brethren might say, oh, that's all right. And matter of fact, in somebody else's life, it might be all right. But you can't do it to the glory of God. And let me just say this. I want to just ask you this. Why do you wear what you wear? Why do you keep your hair cut the way you keep your hair cut? Now I'll say this real simple like. I'll give you an example. Why do we do what we do? Now, I know why I keep my hair like I keep my hair, brother. I've got the same problems you got. Me and Brother Barnes. Now let me just say this. When Brother Barnes gets up, you just don't, me and him look like twins old, except for he's taller than me. We both got, alright, beards and bald. Amen. Beards bald and both of us are beautiful. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. That's three B's. That'll preach. All right. But all that beside, I was going to say, my daughter, a few years ago, now she's 15, and she wears her hair the way I tell her to wear her hair. Let me just tell you that. She's my daughter. She don't wear the hair the way you tell her to wear her hair. She wears her hair the way I tell her to wear her hair. If she can't get it cut all up to here, as short as mine. Alright, I'm not arguing about these things. I'm trying to tell you. But a few years ago, my daughter had grown her hair out and it was a yay down to here, longer than mine has ever been. But she went and got it cut. And she got it cut, and it was shorter than I liked. But she did it for a reason. My daughter had been told about these things called locks of love. And so she had to have at least 12 inches of hair cut off. And I didn't realize just what 12 inches of hair was like. It got shorter than I liked. But everything you do for a reason. Everything you and I do in our life, we do for a reason. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Brother Artie, you can play that guitar. I can't. You've seen me. You've heard me. All right. You can play that guitar, but you can choose whether to play it for the glory of God or not for the glory of God. And you're talented enough that you can make that choice of whether to play for the glory of God or not for the glory of God. whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So we find there's some things we do, but that we couldn't do one way or the other. But why do we do what we do? So I asked my boss at work. I work a full-time secular job. I asked my boss at work, I said, why? I said, you're not happy at your job. And he's not. He's miserable. I said, why? You keep on wanting to shift over to another part of the company. I said, why don't you interview for another part of the company right now? He says, because if I don't advance at least two more positions, I won't make enough money. And I want money. Why does he do what he does? The love of money. Why does he do what he does? So what do you do? Why do you do what you do? Why do you read your Bible through every year? Is it so you can tell the preacher that you've read your Bible through? Why do you go soul winning and do what you do? Let me say, I'm talking independent Baptist here. Alright? Sometimes we do good things for bad reasons. We show up Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, so that nobody talks bad about us. Because we know how the brethren are. Because we be brethren. And so we hear it if we don't do it. If we're not the ones who do the gospel, we're not ones to go around spreading rumors. Really, we're just not the gospel kind. You'll never hear one of us repeating gossip, so you better be sure to listen close the first time. That's what they told me on Hee Haw. I learned that before I got saved, brother. But I found it to be true. Hey, I find it to be true in independent Baptist churches. So we don't want the brethren talking about us, and they will. So what do? We show up. Now, I'm telling you, we don't want them saying something about us not being there on visitation. So we better show up. We don't want them to say something about that brother's gone liberal, so you know what? We don't grow a beard. That's why we don't grow a beard. So I said, I don't care. I had one before I got saved? No. I had one before I joined the Navy? Yes. Then I joined the Navy, got rid of it. Got rid of my hair too. Then I got saved. Got out the Navy. You know what the first thing I did when I got out of the Navy was? I grew my beard. Started driving trucks, went into ministry. Went with the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. Started going to prison and went with the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry and went to go to interview with them. And one of the men said, Brother Richard, we don't have any requirement about beards or not beards with our ministry. But you realize that there's some preachers out there that will not let you behind their pulpit. Matter of fact, it'd be probably easier for you to get support if you shave. You know what? That might be true for some. I'm not good at getting support, brother. I wasn't good at it. Now for 12 years with the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, I was fully supported. I had 100% from the first month all the way to the last month. Now 100% of what God wanted me to have. I had all my needs supplied. I'm just trying to tell you. But I found out after a while, hey, I'm not too good at this thing of raising support. I'm not good at the politics of all this junk. I'm not good at this game. So you know what I figured out? I just may as well grow my beard. It doesn't make a difference. The folks that are going to support me wouldn't care whether I had a beard or not had a beard. Wouldn't care whether I wear boots or not wear boots. Wouldn't care whether I wore wire-rimmed glasses or didn't wear glasses. They wouldn't care about none of it. They're either going to support you because it's the will of God and they believe God's going to want them to support you or they're not. Now I found that, now I'm not trying to put down anybody for saying you shouldn't, that it's easier to graze support without a beard, because I do know some preachers who would not have you in their pulpit. But why do you do what you do? I was shaving my beard off because I was trying to go to prison. I know those other ways. I've met folks that have gone those other ways. What I'm trying to tell you is, why do we do what we do? So I got to thinking on that. Everything we do should be for the glory of God. But I figured out some things. I said, I started thinking on the other side. Why do we sin? Why do we sin? Now somebody's going to say, well, it's in our nature. Okay. It's in your nature. But why do you do it? And I got to thinking about this. And I'll give you these, and you know, to live life, there's the right reason to live life to the glory of God, and there's rebellious reasons to live life, which is sinful. But I saw the main reason for what we do a lot of times can be fit into two words: covetousness or discontentment. Covetousness or discontentment. Why does a man look at other women other than his wife? His wife of his youth, who is supposed to ravish him. I read it. I read Song of Solomon. I'm old enough to read that. I'm for it. I'm trying to tell you. So why would covetousness and discontent? I read this over here in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. It didn't say they that are rich. Now you better read that. He said they that will be. That word will means want to be. Those that have a desire to be. The rich man doesn't have to fall into those temptations. It's those that say, I won't, I won't, I won't. And let me say this. He said they fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Which while some, now listen to this word, coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They coveted after. They were not content with food and raiment. They were not content with what God had given them. Let me ask you this question. I've got a building that holds 157 people. That's what they tell me. And that's what they tell me. The sign on the back of the wall says 157. I pray, God have give us 157. It'll hold it. They say we can have that many. It'll be packed out. It'll be crowded. But we'll take them. But why? Why? Why don't want 157? Is it so I can say, woo, look what we've done. Hey, look at how many folks we're running. Hey, we packed this thing out. Don't tell me there ain't some folks like that. Hey, you can read about them in the Sword of the Lord. They tell you how many they had saved last year. Most of them ain't in church right now, but they got saved last year. At least, hey, let me tell you. Oh, man, I'm not going to get into that. When I went to pastor school, something like that. They're giving trophies out for which church had the most souls saved. Why don't they give a trophy out for who had the longest prayer life? Who prayed for 24 hours? Who fasted for 30 days? Why didn't they give a trophy for that? Because they want to show off, look at how many we did. And if somebody fasted and prayed for 30 days, guess what? They wouldn't want to be going around telling everybody about it. Now, let me say, I'm for soul winning. I knock on doors all over Shelbyville, Indiana. I pass out literature weekly. I mean, I'm talking to people about the Lord on a regular basis. I'm not against it. But I get so irritated about this. That people do this stuff not so God's glorified, but so they can get their name in some paper. Or they can get some trophy. Or they memorize scripture so they can get their name on a stupid plaque. They get their attendance thing so they show up for Sunday school and sleep through it. But if they showed up, hey, they get their attendance thing. I'm not against rewarding people. God says there's rewards. God plans on rewarding us. But there's a lot of times we go out looking to do things for rewards that people can see. But they weren't content. And so they coveted after things. I'm going to give you a few folks here. There was a man by the name of Achan who coveted in Joshua chapter 7. In verse number 20, he says, "And Achan answered Joshua and said, 'Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it.'" Now take this contrast. Paul says in Acts chapter 20, "I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel." Matter of fact, Hebrews tells us in chapter 13 and verse 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, 'I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.'" Could we be content with him? Could we be content to have him in our fellowship? Whether we have 5 or 50? Whether we have a name on our, could we be content? Discontentment, my brother. Why do you do what you do? Let me tell you, people sin because they're discontent. I'm not happy with the wife of my youth, so I go looking at others, then I go leaving mine to go get another, and then I'm not content with that one, so I leave her to go find another. And don't, young ladies, don't think it's just men who do that. The young ladies do the same thing. They're not content with what their husband supplies for them. And so, you know what they do? They say, "I'll go get me another." Don't tell me it doesn't happen, dear. Let me tell you, people do it, they quit their jobs. Why are you doing a job you do? I know many of us are pastors and missionaries and so forth. But why are you doing what you do? Now, I know it's not for the money, except for Brother Thurman. Dr. Thurman. Excuse me, doctor, I forgot to call you. I mean, other than him, the rest of us don't do it for the money. Huh? I mean, but why do you do what you do? Is it so you can stand up in front of people and people can say, oh, he's such a blessing? Why do you preach what you preach? Why does a person work the job they work? Somebody says, I've got to have so much money. Really? Did God not promise you food and raiment? Did he not? He said there would be content. So if he promised you that, now I can tell you why you're supposed to work. Let me just tell you this. That you might have, that you might give. He is not going to tell a thief to not to do something that's not what he wants all the brethren to do. Work that we might give. That's why we're supposed to work. I'm just going to tell you that. That was an extra thing, but the truth of the matter is, why do we do what we do? So I can have extra? So I can drive a new car? Now I'm not against work, and I work. I pay my bills with a job I'm not against that. I'm not against missionaries getting support. I'm not against anything. I'm for money. God likes it. But I try to figure out, why do we do what we do? Do you work the job you work for the glory of God, or do you work the job you work so that you can make a paycheck? Do you pastor the church you pastor for the glory of God, or do you pastor the church you pastor because they pay you well enough? That's the thing, is our motive, brother. Why do we do what we do? Could we drop it all, give up everything, and go do something different if God said do it? Because if we're not doing it for the glory of God, then we're doing it for self-motivation. The brother read the verses over there in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 21. For all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. That is, now you're either living in chapter 2 and verse number 21, that's the verse there, or you're living in 121. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Your choice is one of the two. There's no other places to live. You're either living for self, or you're living for the glory of God. I'm either living for self, or I'm living for the glory of God. I've told you, this is things I've been meditating on. Told you it's not much of a, might not be much of a message, but it's things I've been meditating on. The Apostle Paul said you got to go through a classroom to learn this stuff. In Philippians chapter 4, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. Because it's not something that's natural. You have to learn this. In whatsoever I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everybody knows how to abound. Not really. Most of us waste what we abound in. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So I find that covetousness or discontentment is one of the reasons we sin or do what live for sale. Another is pleasures. Just because I like having fun. In Hebrews, we find Moses, by faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now let me say, when he was talking about sin there, he wasn't talking about necessarily what you'd call sinful activities. He was just talking about the pleasures of the world. I'd rather suffer as a slave than shine in sin. Now you realize, dear brother Moses didn't know what he was saying when he made that choice. You say, how do you know that? Because shortly thereafter, we find dear brother Moses wanting to shine instead of being a submissive servant. You say, what did he do? Oh, he said, hey, I'm going to slay that Egyptian. You can't do that. He wouldn't have gotten any trouble if he'd have been a prince of Egypt. The prince of Egypt, what would it matter if he was the prince of Egypt killed an Egyptian? He's Pharaoh's grandson. Pharaoh's grandson killing somebody? That's not a big deal. But when you've made a choice, I'd rather suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, and I'll give up my status, I give up everything to go down and be a a slave, a servant, and to be a nothing, and then the next thing you do, because you chose to go and live with your brethren, the next thing you do is you say, hey, I don't like this. They can't do this. Back a month ago, if I was somebody. Back a month ago, I could do anything I want. Let me say, I'm 29 years old in the Lord here. Today, this is the 31st, this next month. Then, 29 years old in the Lord, the 10th of August. The 9th of August. Matter of fact, up until about 7:30 that night on the 10th of August, maybe 8 o'clock that night, on the 10th of August, I could do whatever I wanted to do and enjoy it to the max. I was just a sinner. Now, I didn't know that before at that point in time. I could have been as... But now, hey, listen, as a Christian, I'm sitting there saying, sinners can do whatever they want to. And it doesn't really matter because they're not good at... Many times I've seen her saying, they keep prospering and enjoying it. Now, they got a payday someday. I understand that. But, hey, they don't got the convicting of God coming upon them. They've got conscience, but they can sear that conscience. But I can tell you this. Just the next day, when I'm wanting to... cuss and fuss, and the Holy Ghost says, you can't do that. But, hey, I want my way. They told me I could have it my way. I go to Burger King and have it my way. And I go to Burger King and they won't even give it to me my way. I order it and I'll sit there and say, I want it cooked. And tasting good. Then they gave me a Burger King burger, which never tastes good. If you like Burger King, I feel bad for you. But I'm trying to tell you, he made a choice. He said, I choose to rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Worldly pleasures. Sometimes that's why we choose to do. I'll just ask you this question. Now, I'm going to confess my faults one to another. I like John Wayne. But can I watch John Wayne to the glory of God? All right. Brother, you might can. I have a hard time. As I've been meditating on these things, I'm sitting there saying, can I do that to the glory of God? Now, I know some of y'all say, well, I've never watched a movie in my life, never done anything, didn't even watch Old Yeller. I know some of you is like that. All right, that's fine and dandy. But I like John Wayne. But can I watch John Wayne to the glory of God? I'm not talking about where they're cussing. I'm talking about McClintock when he bends that woman over. Oh, man, I like that part. I know you had never seen McClintock, but if you watch it, the best part when he bends that girl. He straightens that girl out. Man, that's good. My wife would get back up. But that's beside the point. I'm just trying to tell you. Hey, how do you watch it to the glory of God? Now I'm not trying to take away your liberty. I'm just saying, I start examining myself. Can you do this to the glory of God? Can you do that to the glory of God? Now let me say, there are pleasures that we can enjoy. Matter of fact, at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Now I'm going to give you this last thought. That's why do we do what we should do. Then over in Colossians, and I'm done, brother. In Colossians, how do we do, should we do what we do? Colossians chapter 3, page number 1562. There I see two things. In verse number 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Whatever we do, we ought to do gratefully. Whatever we do, we ought to do so gratefully, giving thanks that we're able to do something. Because what if we're doing it for the glory of God, we've got to be doing it by the power of God. And that God would enable us to do what He wants us to do, we ought to be grateful. And so let me just say this. How should we do what we do? We should do it gratefully. And then I find in verse number 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. We should do it gratefully, and we should do it gaily. I'm using the word properly. Happily, heartily, wholehearted. To have in our heart into this thing. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. One who gives with his heart and gives with his whole heart is happy about it. Cheerful. I mean giddy. Gaily is the right word. I mean I know y'all are King James Bible men. You know gay apparel does not mean effeminate apparel. Gaily. We ought to do it gratefully. And we ought to do it gaily. We ought to be happy, wholeheartedly doing what we do. Let me say, sometimes I find myself doing things, and I say I'm doing them for the glory of God. Then I find myself murmuring in the midst of them. Not grateful. And then not doing it wholeheartedly. Half-heartedly. Not gaily. And then I say, but I'm doing it for the glory of God. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. In first church I pastored, probably the only church I pastored, and I didn't even do a good job at that. I didn't even pastor there. I had a banner put up. I got in trouble for that. I just decided I got in trouble for everything I did there. It said, the responsibility of our church had three things. Now I'd put them in a triangle now. Number one, exalt the Savior. Under that, we said edify the saints. Number three, evangelize sinners. If anything we did not do those, at least exalt the Savior. Matter of fact, everything we do is to exalt the Savior. Edifying the saints, the reason we, if it doesn't edify the saints or evangelize sinners, then why are we doing it? Can I say, that's what I said for the church. I wonder sometimes if it's for the church collectively or as a body, as a community, is it not for every individual in the church to think the same thing about their own self? Is what I do exalting the Savior? Is what I do, is it to edify the saints? And is what I do to evangelize sinners? If it does not exalt the Savior, we should not do it. If it does not edify the saints or evangelize sinners, then the question is, why are we doing it? Can we exalt the Savior without edifying the saints or evangelizing sinners? I can tell you one thing we can do that's not going to edify the saints and evangelize sinners in the immediate. And that's fellowship with God Himself. And it does exalt the Savior. Our sweet fellowship, private time, personal time with Him. But it results in He edifying the saints and evangelizing sinners. Father, I pray You take these few thoughts of meditation and help us with these to think on these things for Jesus' glory and honor.